It's wonderful to still be in the Easter season and to tease out more and more, as best we can, the meaning and the experience of the resurrected Christ. So here's what I'd like to do, is talk about that second reading from Revelation, because it gives us a picture, I believe, of not just, you know, this whoever it is, this vast multitude in heaven. It's not just a picture of what can be, but it's a picture of what we share in now. In the church's history, there's a term called eschatology. And as Mr. Rogers would say, can you say eschatology? Can you spell it? So, what it means is the end times, the last day, the final banquet, and what has been talked about in the scriptures is Christianity is about a realized eschatology. That in saying that the prophecies have been fulfilled in Jesus, really we're kind of fudging that, because they've been fulfilled but not fully, not yet in total. Otherwise, we'd be at world peace right now, right? We'd be sitting around the table of the Lamb and, you know, having pork chops or whatever else. I don't know. And that's the problem that the Jews have with Christianity, and other people too. It's a religion of paradox. Christ's resurrection is already here, but it's not complete yet for all of us. Does that make sense? What the other tradition in the church, especially in the Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, who do this better, is the notion of what we do here at liturgy is a foretaste of the final day. And what I want to submit is that the picture given in the book of Revelation is a picture about the rest of the Mass. Did you ever notice that Jesus said, do this in memory of me, which is, he took the bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. And then somebody added this word section. That wasn't part of what Jesus said to do. People thought it was a good idea. So otherwise, Mass would be about 15 minutes. Go, you do the math. Maybe it'd be that. Okay. John had a vision of a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, race, people, and tongue, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing white robes and palm branches and all that stuff. These are the ones who have survived the time of the great distress. Okay. The paradox is they wash their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. You go wash anything and it ain't going to turn out white if you wash it in blood. Right? That's paradox for you. Wait a minute. Okay? Think about it. For this reason, they stand before God's throne and worship Him day and night in His temple. The image of this, seems to me, is here at the Eucharistic prayer, where we stand and give thanks to God for redemption, that Christ has found a way for us, a way through what? Isolation? Despair? Private hell? Our blindness? Unwillingness to love one another, Things like that, little things like that, right? That we give thanks that Christ has found the way through and offered it to us in word and in sacrament. And the thanks is all about God in Christ through the Spirit, you have opened for us a path to new life. Now we've got to, in our each of our own hearts and experience, come to discern that, discover that. And if there's time, I might say something about that. But the thanksgiving we do here, which is we take the bread, say the blessing, break it, and share it, we do what Jesus did. And the picture that John gives in the book of Revelation, the author of the book of Revelation, as the scholars would say, the multitude worships day and night. Now, how can there be day and night in eternity? It's just saying all the time, right? Okay. The one who sits... So this is when we're standing during the preface, what's called the preface, and then singing the Holy, Holy. That's the image that we share in now that will come about on the last day for people of every nation, race, people, and tongue. They will not hunger or thirst anymore. It's not just about you got to go out for a pizza after Mass because you're hungry. It's about the deeper hungers. And here's a phrase you might take away and consider. Hurt people hurt people. When we live only out of our hunger and thirst, as the Benedictine Sebastian Moore would say, the definition of sin is to hell with everyone but me. Hurt people hurt people. So what we share in is a picture of the last day when the hungers and thirst of humanity will be cared for. The sun will not strike them with heat. The Lamb who is at the center of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to springs of life-giving water. We share in that now as a foretaste of what will be, so that in our daily lives we learn to say, oh my goodness, the reality there at the end of time is something we share here. So why should my hunger and thirst lead me to damage others? And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Hurt people hurt people. What we give thanks and praise for in the Eucharistic prayer is that God in Christ through the Spirit has opened already for us a path to walk in which the Lamb is the shepherd, another paradox. And in healing every tear, wiping away every tear from each eye, there's no need to hurt. So in the Eucharistic prayer, in the praying of it, in standing like the multitude, giving thanks and singing, holy, 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 We share in that now. And in the, as best we can enter into that experience and reflect on it, it's the part about learning this is how the liturgy orients us before God and in our lives toward what? Freedom, toward belonging, toward the healing of divisions. So what I'm going to do when we get to the Eucharistic prayer, just have, we'll stand in silence for just maybe a moment. Get the feel of remembering that picture, saying, this is our picture now. And then pray. Invite you to listen to the Eucharistic prayer and make it your own as you hear it. Make it the prayer as it is, the prayer of the church. To give thanks to God for opening a path for us where there was none before. So let us consider how we could pray for our world and our church and for one another.